Ahojte priatelia, vítajte opäť pri Chcem viac podcaste. Moje meno je Martin Migloáš a dnes tu mám opäť vzácnych hostí a chcem privítať v našom štúdiu kapelu, alebo časť kapely Solus z Izraela. Je to Levi a Rebecca Davis. A keďže budeme hovoriť po anglicky, tak vás poprosím, ak potrebujete preklad, zapnite si titulky na YouTube. Ak nás počúvate na Spotify, tak sa prehoďte na YouTube a zapnite si titulky, aby ste všetkému rozumeli. Once again, hello.
Hey, hello.
Levi, Rebecca. Welcome to Chcem viac podcast. I'm very glad you have come. And I will introduce you a little bit to our audience. So I would say Levi was born and raised in Israel.
Yes.
As a son of missionaries who are a part of Messianic Jews community. Mm-hmm. But is not Jewish himself.
Yeah.
And Rebecca was not born in Israel and lived until 7 in USA.
Yes.
But she and her parents are Messianic Jews. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. Will you tell us more about your life and how have you become followers of Jesus or Yeshua?
Yeah.
You
want to
start
here? I can start.
Okay.
So my name is Rebecca. I come from a family of 6 kids. I'm number 3. And my parents are actually from Colombia, from South America. And they immigrated when they were like 1920 to the USA, and they got married and they got saved a few years after. And I was born about 7 years after, and during that season they became a part of a Messianic community in America and Florida. Mm-hmm. And the Lord was drawing them and awakening a heart and a love for Israel. And so shortly after that, they decided within a few months that they wanted to apply with paperwork that they had found that they were Jewish, and they were able to get citizenship. Mm-hmm. And with 5 kids, we moved to Israel in 2007. And it was an amazing experience as a child. We grew up reading the Bible, and so we thought it was desert and camels, and then they were like, we're going to Israel. And we were like, no, we're not. But we did, and it was amazing. It's very normal. It's very modern. And it was really special. So we lived kind of around, but we kind of settled in the outside of Jerusalem. So for many years we lived there. I had a little brother that was born there 2 years after we arrived. And I grew up in a home where we had devotionals, and my parents are born again believers and obviously believing in Yeshua as Jewish people. So we had a lot of Jewish tradition at home. We kept the Sabbath, you know, we had Shabbat dinners, and we went to congregation, which is like church, synagogue, on a Saturday. Every week we would go. We were part of a local community in Jerusalem, and we would also assist a house of prayer, which is a place of worship that runs, this one runs like 24/7 in Jerusalem, and we would go about once a week, twice a week, and it's there where I was able to grow and also learn that I could play and I could sing and just really worship the Lord. That's all we did for many hours, for many years. And I think I was like 13 or 14, and I had gotten baptized when I was 12. And it's when you do your bat mitzvah, you become a woman in the Jewish tradition. And so I had a celebration, and the cantor, the guy that taught me to read from the Torah the traditional way for my bat mitzvah, had asked me if I wanted to be baptized. And he said, maybe you would like to also share your testimony. And so I was like, I'm 12, like, what testimony do I have? And he said, no, everyone has their own testimony. And he said something that was really important in my walk, where he said that just because you haven't lived in the world, it doesn't mean that you don't have a testimony. Mm-hmm. And you knowing the Lord from a young age is your testimony. And so that really encouraged me to kind of look and see where my heart was at. And I really had experienced the Lord at a young age, and I knew that I wanted to dedicate my life. And so I did get baptized, and I was able to share my testimony. And it was a I was in this high of like, oh, like everything's amazing, you know, Yeshua loves me and I love him. And shortly after that is when I started to like be really challenged in my faith, where I felt like I was faced with all these things that I was having to deal with. And as a young girl, you know, and I was about 13, 14, where I actually started dealing with pornography. And I dealt for like, it was only a few months, but there was a lot of condemnation. Mm-hmm. And I knew I had someone to talk to, but the enemy was very condemning, and you know, was like, "Don't, you can't tell anyone about it, and they're going to judge you, and you're never going to be forgiven," and just wanting to keep things in the dark. And for a few months, I really did live in that way, and I was very fearful. But I felt like a hypocrite because I did love the Lord, and I was like, I should be sharing about this, and I need to repent. But Anyway, eventually someone in our youth group, our youth leaders at our congregation, every week they would tell us, like, just so you know, we're here for you. And the enemy wants you to keep things in the dark, but like, we want you to be free and to live in freedom. And it, every week, you know, my heart was pounding and I felt like they were talking to me and they knew about my sin. But a few weeks later, I gathered some courage and I just broke down and I cried for quite a while. And I just repented of everything that I had done with one of the women in our youth group. And I just felt so much relief and so much freedom. And I really experienced the freedom that the Lord brings and in forgiveness, mm-hmm. you know, repenting from sin. And I was like 14, and it set the tone for the rest of my life from that young age. So that's like,
wow,
long but short. So it impacted my life at a young age, and it's been really special.
Thank you for sharing us with us. What about you, Larry?
So I'm 23. I'll be 24. I think next week.
Yeah.
So about 25 years ago, my parents got married, and my father, he's American. My mother is half American, half Mexican. Mm-hmm. She grew up in Mexico until like the age of 16, and then moved to the States. She met my father, and before they were getting married, they were I don't know and check how much there's like houses of prayer, or, but in around it was like 1999 that the Lord was really stirring. A lot, at least in the United States, I know also places in Europe, people with hearts for worship and prayer to happen, like all in places, maybe not all the time, but there was lots of movements of worship and prayer starting to begin. And so my parents were very drawn to this and felt like the Lord was speaking to them about this. And they had received an invitation to go to a 9-month program in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And my parents, they grew up believers in the church and as from kids, but they never really had any understanding about Israel. They obviously had read the Bible and knew that Israel was a place and there was people, but they didn't understand the connection of God's plan and Israel today, how important it is. But they felt like they were supposed to go to this trip. So they got married, and then 3 months later, they went to this 9-month program. Mm. And during this time, the Lord continued to really speak to them and put a lot of revelation about Israel. And towards the end of their time, the Lord told them to stay. And they did not have that plan that in mind. They didn't really even want to, really. Mm. It was very hard. It was not easy.
Yeah.
But they felt very clearly the Lord was telling them to stay. And so they, in faith, said yes, and started a process of just walking in faith. Because they're not like citizens or didn't have any status, they couldn't work. So they were living by support from people and from their churches in America that supported them financially.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the 9 months, I was born. So I was born in Israel at the end of this time. And slowly. Just every time they kept on saying yes and would ask the Lord, is it still time to be here? And he would say yes and yes. And so during the beginning of their time, they connected with a few other couples that they also had a heart to start a house of prayer. So a place, they had a vision to have a place that has worship and prayer happening all the time, 24/7. And this was something they were very had on their heart. And so they helped start this house of prayer in Jerusalem, a place called Sukkot Halil. And so I was born really into this movement, into this place, and grew up there all my life, just in this, lots of times in worship and prayer, and also in our house with my parents and my brothers, and but also in the house of prayer. And they very much would always bring us and encourage us and teach us to sing and to play and sing from the scriptures and pray from the scriptures. And I think, I don't remember this, but my parents, when I was three years old, I asked them to be baptized. I don't remember this, but my parents, at first they thought it was a little bit like, should we let him? He's only three. Does he understand? But they decided to let me get baptized when I was three. Mm. And I think it really was real. I don't remember it, but I know the Lord was there in my life, and that happened at that age. And ever since a very young age, I always really had a heart for the Lord. And I remember around the age of 10, I again wanted to get baptized again because I didn't really remember being baptized at 3, but I just wanted to rededicate my life. Yeah. And so at around the age of 10, I did that again. It wasn't something big with lots of people, but I just, we were in a place and I felt like this is the right time. We should do it. And it was kind of on a little like trip we had with some people, and there was some water, and I was like, we need to do this. But yeah, and so from a very young age, like Rebecca said, being in the house of prayer, my parents, they were doing times of worship for kids and for youth. And so I was always there with my parents, learning how to play guitar. My dad played guitar. He was a worship leader, is a worship leader. And so I learned from him a little bit how to play the guitar, from my older brother also some drums. And slowly, slowly, I never had lessons, but just spending time in the house of prayer, that's how I would learn. And the Lord would, I think he would teach. The Holy Spirit would teach. And so, yeah, we would do that a lot. We had other youth groups in the city that were very, the Lord used in my life, many youth camps, and that the Lord really encountered me. And I just walked. Yeah.
sounds good. Sounds interesting. Mm. And I've heard many of your songs, and you both have beautiful voices. Oh. And when singing together with solo, what does music even mean to you? Have you ever wondered what would you do without music, or what do you like about singing, worshiping together? Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts on this?
I mean, for me, I think music and musical worship. I mean, we know worship is not only music. Sure. It's not only songs. Worship is the way we live our life.
Right.
It's a lifestyle. But the musical worship is something that has always been for me the place where I most connect with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had many times where reading the scriptures, I really connect with the Lord and receive revelation or in prayer. But always worship is where my heart really comes alive. Mm-hmm. Really, I connect with the Lord, and he speaks to me a lot in worship. And I think for many people, it's some different. Some may be more in the scriptures, some more in prayer, more in worship, more different things.
Sure.
But for me, worship is really that place. And I think the Lord really has used music in my life to also be like a way of expression. I think He gives everyone gifts to use for His glory, I believe. Some people choose not to use it for His glory, but He gives us all gifts. And I think He also gives us passion for these gifts. And so from a young age, I was really drawn to instruments and playing and singing. And I think it's something that He's given us to do, to create. I mean, He's the creator. He has created the heavens and the earth, all the colors, all the sounds, all of. And so I think it's in a sense, kind of an expression of who He is. And He gives us things to be like Him and create. And to, so it's always been a really special place for me to be able to connect with God, even just personally. Many, many years I would just go into my room by myself and play and sing to the Lord, just me and Him. And it would be a place that I would really cultivate my relationship with the Lord. And then later on, writing songs and just maybe writing melodies. And
do you see difference when you worship alone and when you worship together as a community?
Yeah.
What's
Yeah, I think what we cultivate in secret does bear fruit in public.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I think we can sense. We've spent so many hours in our rooms, but then also in a room that's empty, you know, with nobody as people, you know,
in
even
the house
back
of
home.
Prayer,
yeah, the house of prayer, there's not a lot of people that come by. Different
nobody.
Hours and there's not many people throughout the years. And so there's something very intimate that happens with the Lord, you know, if singing to Him your love and expressing so much. And there's things that happen, I believe, in our heart and in our spirit that come alive. That and it's this time of intimacy, you know, in a relationship where you're getting to know, and you're, and it's beyond what we can comprehend. I really do believe something in our spirit is also being activated, and it comes to life also when we gather, and the power of worshiping together. There's so much to that as well, but I think the unity factor when mm-hmm. we are together with other people has a really big effect. And the Lord's presence is, it's different. Yeah. Not that it's better or worse, but it's a different expression, you yeah. know, of the Lord's presence in our midst. And it's something very special. I think the last few nights that we've been worshiping in Slovakia even has been very deep. And so the pastor, the leader said yesterday, we have the same Jesus, we have the same yeah, Lord, you sure. know, and that's what brings us together. And it's very mind blowing. You know, we come from a different country yeah, in a different place, language, different language yeah. and different culture, but we get to connect with people that we've never met before and to worship in one spirit, and something very powerful. The Lord encounters and touches and speaks. And it's something very special that through worship and music, the Lord does and uses. And yeah.
And I'll say, I think worship is something very unifying. Mm. It brings a lot of unity. And I can say in each and every realm, like whether it's just me and the Lord, getting to know him, singing to him. Mm. I think it's also because it's just you and the Lord, it's different. There's intimacy. There's maybe not people around, and you can express yourself in a different way. I know there's things that I've sung to the Lord or songs that I've written to the Lord in the place of just me and him that I wouldn't necessarily sing in front of all these people. It's maybe things that are a little bit harder to sing or to say or to express, or things that are, yeah, more personal, which I think is beautiful that there's that safe place and a place that's maybe just for you and the Lord. And then as a team without a whole crowd, there's something so unifying about together searching the Lord, singing to the Lord, building a unity as a team as we play. I mean, it's practical and it's spiritual.
Dynamic, yeah.
You're learning to teamwork, to play together, to sing together, and to like build each other up. But then also you're doing it together, seeking the Lord together. And there's something spiritual that in your spirits, you're connecting and you're unifying. I can say with my friends as teenagers, so much of how close we were was because we were searching the Lord together, and there was something in our hearts that was connecting on a deeper level than just, I don't know, we were friends and we would watch or play football together. Or I don't know. There's something, it's a deeper level of unity and friendship. And then as a whole, I don't know, church or community, congregation, there is so much power. I mean, the Lord calls us to worship together as a body. Man. And there's a reason for that. There's so much power and strength, and he uses that, I think, also as a picture of his body.
Sure.
And so there's so many on every room.
It's really good.
Oh, thank you for sharing with us with this. Maybe I'll change topic a little bit. Do you have any hard questions about your faith, or maybe you've been to difficult times and you were searching for an answer and didn't get it? Do you have something like this?
I can share maybe something brief that I experienced when I was about 18, 19. I was in a relationship, and I was actually supposed to be married. And 2 weeks before the wedding, it wasn't Levi, it was another person, we called it off. And I didn't initiate it, but we did come to a decision where we figured where it was the wise thing. And he's a believer, but he really felt convicted from the Lord that he wasn't ready to make that step. And so, and the responsibility, we were young. We were also very young, and praise the Lord, it wasn't, you know, the Lord's plan for my life and also for his, and really by the Lord's grace and protection, I believe that he intervened. But with that, it brought a lot of grief. As a young gal, I had a lot of dreams and desires to be married, and suddenly it all blew up, and I had dated this person for, I mean, over a year, and I had, you know, my parents' blessing. We both had our parents' blessings and also the community around, and it just felt like it was supposed to be, but it kind of fell apart. And there was, I felt like I went through a season of just shock and mourning, you know. It felt like somebody had died in my life, because in a moment, all of our life changed. And not only that, I also had to go into the army a month after. If you get married as a young girl, 18, 19, you don't have to serve. But because I'm a citizen, then I had to, and I wasn't married, so it was a blessing in disguise, because it was a system that I could, you know, I had to wake up and I had a job, and it was for 2 years. And so it kind of helped me not fall into, I don't know, deep sadness, but it also really brought up being alone, because there's not many believers in the army, yeah. and where I was especially, there was mm-hmm. no one. And so you're having to work out your faith by yourself, but then also walk through grief. And so, praise the Lord, I do believe many prayers and people around me that were praying also really strengthened me, you know, physically, emotionally, to even get through it. But I think one of the bigger things was I felt like I was in it alone. You know, nobody had been in a similar situation. And I remember crying to the Lord and saying, like, you don't understand. And like, why did this happen? Why didn't you like say something before? And you could have saved all of this pain. And I remember really crying after like 3 weeks that I couldn't like talk to the Lord. And other things that happened even beforehand, that I had a lot of disappointment in the Lord. And so this was kind of like what broke it. And I didn't believe that God was like evil or bad, or, you know, had planned it to hurt me. But I was like, where were you? You know, like, why didn't you do something or say something? And I, as I was, you know, before the Lord, I had this picture come to me. I felt like the Lord was reminding me of before the crucifixion, and when Yeshua was in the garden, he was weeping, and where he said, Father, if this is from you, you know, then I will drink the cup. But if it's not, then please like pass this cup of suffering, you know, before me. And in that moment, I felt like the Lord was saying, like, I carried all of the suffering of the world. Like, I have experienced, like, I know what it feels like to be alone. Trust me. And in that moment, I was like, oh, you're right. Like, how could I even think that my suffering, you know, comes any close to what you've been through? And so I also felt like the Lord saying, you know, I suffered so that I can say to you, I know what it feels like. You know, you're not alone. And so that, just that, brought a lot of healing to my heart. And it was later on, it wasn't asking, you know, why did you let this happen, but more like, what were you doing, you know, through this? And it brought, like, it took me through a season where I read a book where it was called like Shattered Dreams, and just dealing with like dreams and disappointments and stuff that I had put my trust in or put my joy, my hopes in. And the Lord was just kind of like, I'm going to teach you that it's in the hardest seasons of your life, in the suffering, that you find real joy, because I am what you have. And so that was, it did a lot to my heart. It brought a lot of healing, but it answered a lot of questions. And I think it also prepared me for things to come and for hardships that we will face in life, just to know that the Lord is, he is with us, and he has experienced, and he knows what he's doing. And he really does, he works it all together for the good of those that he loves and are called according to his purpose. So,
It's just talking.
Thank you for sure.
Reminds me of, I always forget where the verse is, but where he talks about that he doesn't put us through any trials that are too big or too hard. Mm-hmm. Like he knows what we can handle.
Yeah.
And he knows what's going to build us and build our character. I think there's many examples, but like, whenever we're trying to get better at something, a lot of the times it's in the moments that are the harder that like it feels like you're going to break. But then that's when you actually build. Like when you're working out, you have to, the muscles tear. Have to tear in order for them to get stronger, and all these kinds of pictures. So the Lord knows how much we can take and how much is good for us, and Amen. What we're going to learn and how we're going to get stronger. And so it's encouraging. But I also recently went through a difficult season. For 5 months I was in reserves in the military during this war, and there was an incident where two of my friends were killed, and it was very hard. The first few weeks I was really asking the Lord, like, why in this time where they were killed, there was also, I was miraculously saved, my life was spared in a very, it was very clear to me that the Lord had done a miracle and moved me from one place to another place. And I didn't understand, like, why, Lord, did I receive this miracle and they didn't? Why did they lose their life and I didn't? And honestly, this was only happened a few months ago. Yeah. It happened really recently. And I don't, till this day, I don't have an answer. Maybe I will have an answer later of why me yes and them no. But I think I have a part answer to what I was asking. I felt like after a few weeks, the Lord, through some different people, and just he was speaking to me that it's not for me to ask why me and them not, but I need to know that the Lord kept me and he intervened because he has more for me to do. And so I need to ask, what is there still more for me to do? And why, if you've kept me, Lord, then what's next? I know that you have a plan and a purpose for my life, and you spared me from death. So how do I respond? And I think all of us can, maybe don't have this quite extreme experience, but if you believe the Lord, then you should know that the Lord has a plan and a purpose for your life.
Amen.
And always be thinking and asking, Lord, what do you want me to do? And we don't have time to waste. You never know.
Sure.
The Lord maybe will take you tomorrow, maybe later today. So it's,
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for sharing with us. Actually, we had our great guests, Levi and Rebecca Davis here at Chcem Viac Podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having
priatelia.
Us.
Priatelia, počúvali ste Chcem Viac Podcast s našimi priateľmi, s našimi bratmi a sestrami, mesianskými židmi z Izraela. A odporúčam vám určite si vypočuť aj ďalšie podcasty, ktoré sme spolu, a teda nielen ktoré sme spolu s nimi nahrali, ale aj ďalšie iné podcasty, aj rôzne prednášky z konferencie o odpustení 70x7. Všetko to nájdete na stránke chcemviac.com na našom YouTube kanále. Budeme veľmi radi, ak nielen si to pozriete, ale ak sa vám to bude páčiť, tak nám dáte aj spätnú väzbu k tomu, poviete nám, čo sa vám páčilo, prípadne dáte nejaký like, komentár, ohodnotíte ten podcast. Budeme za to veľmi vďační, šírte to medzi svojimi priateľmi. A takisto vám chcem dať do pozornosti, každé ráno už viac ako 10 rokov posielame VVS-ku krátke biblické zamyslenia. Je to už na viac ako 2500 e-mailových adres. Ak chcete začínať deň s Pánom Bohom, môžete začínať aj takto. A verím, že vám to prinesie veľa požehnania. Priatelia, počúvali ste Chcem Viac Podcast. Toto bol Martin Miglaš, Levi, Rebeka.
Thank you.